Ask the Podcast Coach for May 4th, 2024.
Let's get ready to podcast.
There it is. It's that music that means it's Saturday. It's time for Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. I'm Dave Jackson from theschoolofpodcasting.com, and joining me right over there is the one and only guest one from what's going on? From
I'm the witness to protect the program.
From theaverageguy.tv, the one and only Jim Coulson. How's it going, Jim?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. Happy Star Wars Day, right? May the 4th be with you. As well, tomorrow, Cinco de Mayo, which is a completely made-up American holiday that we somehow stole from Mexico. So, great weekend for partiers. Be safe, my friends.
There you go.
Be safe tomorrow.
And if you live in Ohio, hey, let's just bring the party down, shall we? If you live in Ohio, May 4th has a completely different thing. That's the day of the Kent State shooting, which means a bunch of old hippies are going to walk down Main Street. I used to work in Kent, Ohio briefly. And every May 4th, a bunch of old hippies in their army jackets and, you know, things like that. It was back when George W. was in office, and they made this big paper mache George W. head. And my favorite was if you're going to do a protest, maybe get a bullhorn that works. Because it was literally like they have a bullhorn and they're like, everybody say it with me. Okay. Yeah, exactly. What you're saying. I'm with you, brother. I fight the power.
Like,
yeah, everyone together. Okay, good. I'm with you. Whatever you're for, but you know, if you get tired on the picket line, you know what can save you for that? A hot coffee cup of
perk you right up.
Exactly. Perk you right up. And of course, that coffee pour is brought to you by our good friend Mark over at Podcast Branding. .co. He is a podcast design specialist. Look, if you go to you know, Fiverr or any place else, it's just not going to work as good as the one and only Mark Decote from podcastbranding.co. His artwork is beautiful. He's made over probably 300 artworks for people. And you're like, well, that's great. But what if I need a website? What if I need a PDF? What if I need anything that's going to make me look professional? It's very simple. You call Mark. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to explain what a podcast is. You don't have to explain this. He's going to sit down with you one-on-one. You're going to tell him what your show is about, and he's going to come up with the ideas. And not just one idea, multiple ideas, and he's going to work with you until you are happy with your artwork. He's amazing. He's done the School of Podcasting. He's done Ask the Podcast Coach, the Podcast Rodeo Show, and my recent one, Your Podcast Website. You got to check it out. There's only one place to go, and that is podcastbranding.co.
That's always soothing music there at the end. Big thanks to our good friend Dan Lefebvre over there, Based on a True Story, basedonatruestorypodcast.com. This week, Tombstone with Tom Clavin. If you're a Tombstone fan or that era of the great American culture called the Wild Wild West, you'll want to check it out today. Based on a true story podcast.com. Give it a shot. Maybe over the weekend you need something while you're out mowing the lawn, you need something to listen to. Big thanks to Dan for his sponsorship.
Have you heard of this? I have not. Around the Layout podcast says, coming soon, Dave Jackson's gear guide for protests. There you go. It'll be like, yeah.
Make sure you can be heard.
Yeah.
That's the number one. Make sure you can be heard.
If you're doing a podcast, it's the Samson Q2U. If you're doing a protest, this is my favorite bullhorn. Do they still make bullhorns? Oh, of course they do.
I think, oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
And yet
They're all digital.
Yeah, it's got to be something that, you know. And then
why wouldn't
go to Sticker Mule for your favorite protest signs. You know, there's all sorts of things we could be doing there. If you want to have, this is something I want to mention because it's only available for 4 days. Do you remember when Seth Wrestler was doing, I think they were called pod parties? Did you ever sniff around There's this really cool tool called Remo, I believe, or Remo. Remo sounds like a whole different podcast. It's on sale for the next 4 days. I will put a link. This is an affiliate link, by the way, in the chat room. And what it is you can have, it's like Zoom on steroids. But what's cool is like you can have 20 people on stage. I don't know what the limit is on Zoom. They record everything. But what I love is if you want to do breakout stuff where, hey, okay, we're going to have somebody talk about stuff and then talk amongst yourselves. Would you? Why do we drive in a parkway and park in a driveway? Talk amongst yourselves. Mm-hmm. And then you have these little tables and you can get up and mingle. So if you wanted to have, because to me, again, I'm going to an event this week coming up, or next week, actually, in Cleveland, the Content Entrepreneur Expo. And it's one of those things where I'm going to probably have more fun in the hallway than I am. I mean, I'm going to some AI sessions and some things about coaching and things like that. It's really going to be fun. Yeah, Tim says Remo Williams was a great 80s movie. Yeah, it's pretty cool. But the thing is, it's only available for 5 days yesterday, so 4 days counting today. And I bought it immediately. It's one of those things where I don't have an immediate need. I am thinking of starting, because the cool thing about the School of Podcasting is it's a buffet, right? It's like, here it is. Come eat at your own leisure. I'm here to help you with any questions. We can do coaching, whatever. But there are those people that want to do it with a group. And many, many moons ago, I still own the domain. I had podcasting in 6 weeks. And I might be bringing that back to where you could go through. This week, we're going to talk about planning. Week number two, we talk about equipment, including bullhorns, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that'll 9 years. So when I saw that was coming up, I was like, I know there might be some people that if you want to do something outside of Zoom, Zoom is fine. I mean, Zoom has breakout rooms. They did this for PodFest. We do what do you use for, I know Gallup, obviously you got 8 million people online. What do you guys use? Crowdcast or?
StreamYard. No, StreamYard for the podcast. Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. And then Zoom has been kind of up in their game a little bit. I think they have, after the pandemic, they've kind of responded. They have a new workplace plugin for your Zoom client. So yeah, works. Can we continue to use StreamYard? Apparently, back to the bullhorn really quick, Pyle, P-Y-L-E, they're the leader in bullhorns.
Oh.
And they come in watts is how they're measured. So 30, 40, or 50 watts. Some of them have built-in sirens. Some of them, this should be a Home Gadget Geeks episode. Some of them, you can record up to a certain number of seconds of your voice so that you can
only say it once. Yeah.
Say it once and then just keep repeating it. You know, like move on from here, move on from here. You're not allowed to be in this space. They got, you know, we always think of talking into them, but many of them have the microphone bit. That you can, you know, you can hold the microphone and then hold the thing away from you.
Yeah.
Because it's loud.
It's loud.
That's why it's about wanting to hear hearing protection.
That's why it's always like, hey, and that, because you got all this feedback going on. Yeah. Always fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I have alarms in them. This one is talking about a 1,200 yard range. That's pretty good. Yeah.
1,200.
So that's Pyle. P-Y-A.
That's
$70. Not terrible.
Well, there you go. If you want more listeners to your podcast, just get yourself a bullhorn, go down to downtown, and you need to listen to my show. AskThePodcastCoach.com. AskThePodcastCoach.com. So,
wait a minute. Were you making that key up sound? Yeah, is that what you were making?
Yeah, exactly. What do we want? What do we want? Yeah, exactly. Protests.
You know, you get too close to something and the thing just starts squealing.
It's the best. Well,
they got them in multiple colors too. Blue, pink, white, green.
That's like, for all the female protesters. Oh, look at it. It's so cute. I couldn't pass it up. It was pink. Yes.
A plethora of, they need to come with earplugs type deal.
I'm getting notes here that my video may be out of sync again. I wonder, I'll have to check. I have noticed, I don't know what's up. My Mac is being persnickety these days.
Could be routing too.
It's looking, I know at one point it kept selecting the Elgato virtual camera. I might've upped my, whatchamajigger, my resolution. Maybe I was doing that and that was a bad idea. I don't know. But I seem a little, anyway. DR has a question for us. And that is, if I already have a website for my business, do I necessarily Need a pod page. Should my podcast have a page to all itself? I have big opinions on this. So to answer your question, DR, no. In fact, I say the opposite. I say what you want to do is, if you have your own, and this is what drives me nuts, is I'll see people that have a really nice website. I mean, it's just pretty. And then they will use the Libsyn site or the Captivate site or the Buzzsprout site. And all the magic, all your calls to action, buy my book, hire me as a consultant, buy my bullhorn, whatever it is, it's on your website. And so you're sending people to the, we'll just say Libsyn, and your Libsyn site. And then at the bottom of your show notes, if they scroll down far enough, there's a link to do whatever your call to action is. And so there are a couple options here. A, use your media host website. Well, that's dumb, in my opinion. There are some people that they work for a giant conglomerate, and getting, you know, Steve, the IT guy, to give you a page to put your podcast on or let you post to the major website is not going to happen. All right, I get that. Then there's the other one. There's phase number two that I see a lot. Oh, I know what I'll do. I will put a page on my official website and I'll get that player that just has like 6 or 7 episodes in it. And I'll just paste it there and it'll update every time I do an episode, set it and forget it. Well, I'm sorry. Also, not, it's a better idea because at least now it's on your website, but you're getting zero SEO. What you want to do is treat every episode like a blog post. An episode coming out today on your podcast website. I'm interviewing Greg Merlet, I can never say his last name, from sound1design.com. And he was saying, yeah, treat every episode like a blog post. It gets the most SEO. If people share it, then they're sharing things back to your website. So you have more links back to your website. It reinforces your brand. The another in-between option is, and I was pondering this, and I don't think I'm going to do it, podcast.yourwebsite.com. And I didn't realize this. The more I do with your podcast website, I'm relearning stuff that I kind of knew, and I'm getting clarity on that. If you do subdomain.yourwhatever.com, yourwebsite.com, that subdomain has its own SEO. And so instead of ranking good for your website, it's ranking good for your, you know, your subdomain. And I didn't realize that subdomains kind of have their own SEO score. So yeah. So if you have your own website, you know, where does Gallup put their podcast? Cause that's
we have our own custom CMS. And we break it down. So you can go to gallup.com. That's our news page. And then a lot of this stuff, I think I'm under Clifton Strengths. So I think you say it's, I think it's gallup.com/Clifton Strengths. But we have a couple people that just spend full time. That's their job. It's just to keep us on top of SEO. And I hear the one of the guys that does that sits, oh geez, not very far from me, you know, a couple people away from me. So I hear him talking about it and some of that work. It's an ever moving target. It's not always clear. I think Google just went through another change in the way they're doing some SEO. So there's some discussion about that. GA4 brought a bunch of new implications for it. So it's an ever moving target. I think, you know, I put my podcast on 8 or 9 different hosting platforms. One, so I can kind of stay on top of them just to see, see who's still alive and who's not. But I probably pick up between all of them, I probably pick up half the number of listens that I get on my RSS feed. So it's not always a bad, you know, you think, well, what's a couple here and a couple there? Well, if you do a couple and then it adds up after a while, you're like, oh, this is maybe a couple hundred. This isn't bad. If they're spread across, takes me 5 minutes a platform maybe to upload them, you know, so it's not a bad, I think. I'm a big believer in be everywhere, right? But certainly I agree with you for all of your, you want to bring people back to your property in almost all cases.
Yeah. Yeah. Danny Brown from Captivate says websites are so important. If podcast apps disappear, like, you know, Google Podcast or Stitcher, you always have a place to send your listeners. That's, I mentioned that in episode 2 of your podcast website. And people don't realize that. Remember when I remember TV commercials from Facebook saying, build your, don't, you don't have to learn how to build a website. Just build it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know, and now it's, and
like, you can build it there. You can.
Yeah.
Just don't make that your primary.
Right.
Don't put it there, but just, that's, it shouldn't be the primary place. You should have your own website.
Yeah. And he also says, turn off the Elgato virtual camera. It's awful. Yeah, I probably should, because I never use it and it's always accidentally getting used. I just figured out why we're having video problems. I'm like, what did I do different? We are on Rumble today, and maybe that's just a little too much for my little Mac Mini to go, because we're going to Facebook, we're going to YouTube, we're going to LinkedIn, we're going to Twitter, and then I added, you know, and it wasn't hard. It's one of those things where we think things are going to be harder than we think. And so I heard, you know, you have to set up an RMTP or RTMP or PMRC or whatever it was, RMTP, I think it is. And you just go to Rumble. And here's the freaky thing. I've not been to Rumble in about a year and a half. I did have an account. It's like, here's YouTube. And then they go, and here I'm like, they are so obviously, they are the, you know, this is the place where Americans go there to tell the truth on Rumble. But it looks so, I mean, I had to look in the upper left-hand corner. I'm like, wait, did I go to YouTube? It looks so much like YouTube, except it says Rumble. And then what was really cool is I clicked on a button. It was like, how do I do a RMTP? And it was like, oh, click here, do this, do that. So it wasn't hard, but I was like, that's the only thing I can think of that's different. And I know Ralph has a question here in a second. Ralph from AskRalphPodcast.com. He's on Rumble, and he was, you know, we were joking about it, but he's made, I think last week, he was up to 6 cents. So there you go. It's another income stream. But, you know, hey, like you said, man, every little helps. You never know. So we are on Rumble today. And it might make more sense, because I don't expect a lot of, first of all, you had to do a lot of things. If you want to make money on Rumble, saying I'm not on YouTube, like if you're exclusive on Rumble, they will pay you. If you're not, you know, not so much. So that was kind of interesting, but that's the only thing I can think of that I'm doing different. What's weird is we're occasionally a little choppy here, what I'm looking at with you and me, you know, I'm not sure why or what, but I appreciate everybody doing that. And I just lost. That was so weird. I unfavorited one and I lost Ralph's question. And it was a really good question. Let me find it here. Cause this is one of those questions where you have to ask yourself, do I really want the answer to that? And he was asking about when it comes to building your audience.
I can read it. He says they have a question for the show. What's a realistic time frame to actually see listener growth in your podcast? And what's a reasonable number of listeners to grow from month to month?
What do you think, Jim?
So the question is, what's a realistic time frame to actually see listener growth? I think it's tough to put dates on things like this. I think it's longer than you think.
Yeah.
But it's actually it can be fairly quick, kind of based on what you do and how you do it. You know, I think realistically, the things that you do take a month or two or three, like within a quarter, you should see something. We all think, you know, you release an episode and on Saturday or Sunday, and by Monday, you should be seeing, you know, giant numbers. There's no, you know, even Podbean, who kind of tracks the first seven day number in their stats. First 7 days is hard to get. I mean, when you think about that number in relation to 30 days and then to 90 days, man, that first 7 day number is pretty small. I wouldn't stress too much on that first week. I personally like a 30 day. Now, depends what you're doing. Because if you're looking for audience engagement in them responding back to things that you're saying on the podcast, that can take much longer because many people are way behind in what they're doing. They just are. No matter how much you like to think your listeners are caught up with you on a week-to-week basis, this is why that 7 day number is so hard. Most of them are listening 2 or 3 or 4 weeks behind. It's just the way it is.
Right.
They're just, people are busy, right? Especially post-pandemic. So that's why you kind of see the delay in the majority of the delay in them. So if you're embedding engagement items, codes, whatever, send me an email, whatever, that stuff is going to take a while. If you're using paid advertising like Overcast, or you're going through, you know, Google AdSense or AdWords or whatever, some of that stuff can be pretty fast. Like, I mean, you could expect a turnaround or some numbers within that week, because that's instant stuff. You're getting people to click on things and they're coming over and they're doing stuff. So I think you have to think about your mode of engagement. What am I, how am I doing this? And then what am I expecting from the actual engagement in itself? Are they sending me an email? Are they clicking through to something? You know, and then the number is just based on, I mean, how big, how much did you pay? Right? If you're not paying, those numbers are going to be pretty slow. Like your reach is fairly limited on a non-paid basis. If you're paying for the advertising, if you're going out and doing that, you can see some, I mean, you can see some big numbers. We've had, I mean, tens of thousands of YouTube views that we've advertised for within a week. In, again, we paid for those, right? So can you see that kind of engagement? Yeah. Do they stick around? What's interesting is we paid for these. We have a podcast called Leading with Strengths, and it's our CEO interviewing other CEOs and other leaders and, you know, guys like Vint Cerf, the guy who invented the internet, that kind of stuff, or helped in, but it was a whole team. It wasn't one guy, but he was on that team. That kind of content we paid advertising for, and it picked up tens of thousands of YouTube views. And you would think that's on the same YouTube channel as my material, my call to coach stuff. Nice. That I do long form. Yeah, it didn't translate. You would think, oh yeah, people would come. It also didn't build subscribers. Like we didn't see, we get 500 to 750 subscribers a month to that channel. I think it's got about 50,000, 51,000, something like that subscribers right now. You would think that many tens of thousands of views would translate to subscribe. No, because we didn't, that wasn't the call out. It wasn't to, and we don't ever say on our videos, subscribe. So that kind of depends on what you're doing, the action that you're trying to do. If you're going to do a YouTube campaign and the goal is to get people to subscribe to your YouTube channel, you got to say subscribe. You got to tell people subscribe to the channel, right? I'm noticing, Dave, a lot of YouTubers right now, the algorithm is changing again on YouTube, and now they're valuing comments, and they've always valued comments, but they're really valuing comments right now. So the YouTubers are all saying, hey, can you watch the whole thing and can you leave a comment? I don't care what the comment is. Just leave a comment.
Yeah.
Right. So, but you got to say that. Otherwise people won't know to just do that. You've got to kind of say,
well,
so I don't know, Ralph, I hope that that gives you some.
According to the book Profit from Your Podcast, there's a case study where LegalZoom advertised in some shows and nothing happened. They're like, oh, forget it. Just, we're canceling our contract. This is dumb. We're wasting our money. And then the next month went by and they saw more activity than they had. And they're like, wait, turn it back on. It's working. So it's slow. But here's the thing. Let's say he says here in his, he's a daily show. I'm averaging about 60 downloads per day. That's not what we're looking for. How many per episode? Because a day includes all of the past days. So how many per day on YouTube? About 30 and 30 on about Rumble. So the thing we want to look at, if this isn't growing, especially on YouTube, how far are they watching? Because it's harder to keep people on YouTube. Then go into Apple, look at your shows and see how far, look in Spotify, how engaged is this audience? Because if it's not wow content, to quote Michael Hyatt from Platform, if it's not wow content, you know, they're not like, oh man, I got to tell my buddy about this. It's harder to grow. Now, let's say I had 60 downloads and times that by 3%. So times by 0.03, you gained 1.8 listeners. So the next episode you will have, if you're lucky, 62. That's a 3% growth. And we want 50% growth. We want to go from 60 to 90 to 120 to, and that's, you know, and according to the book, Profit from Your Podcast, the average person that was actually, you know, making money with their podcast, growing an audience took 3 years. When you talk to Valerie Geller, how long does it take to build an audience in radio? She said, you guessed it, 3 years. I could play, I have a clip of it's about a minute and a half. I'm not going to play it, of people just saying 3 years, 3 years, 3 years, three. Now that's to monetize. But just realize that if you start off with 20 people, like I don't have anybody, I'm a newsletter, I don't have anything, and I'm going to go and grow it by 5%. So 20 times 0.05, you just gained a listener. So you had 20 on the first episode. Now you got 21. So you go, okay, great. So that was episode number two. Hopefully this will grow by 5%. So 21 times 0.05 is another person. Now I'll be up to 22. You know, so if you do 52 episodes a year and you start off with 20, by the end of the year, you're going to have 70. And that's, you know, it's, I just interviewed Albin from Buzzsprout, and he said that compared to email, YouTube, blogging, even podcasting is the slow, it's the hardest one to get it to really go crazy. But if you look at your retention rate, how far are people listening? It's going to outperform all those. So it's the good and the bad. The good news is you're going to have people, there is no spam in podcasting. I always say that. If I don't want to listen to your show, swipe left, unsubscribe, nothing you can do about it. So it's just tough. I'm studying Mr. Beast right now from YouTube, and this guy's 25, and the stat, my brain literally like breaks down when I try to understand this. There's a video on YouTube where he says, if you make this 3-point shot, I'll show you what I make on YouTube. And the guy nails it. And so he starts apologizing. He's like, well, this is one of my off channels. It makes $65,000 a month. This one makes maybe 95. And he's like, we weren't really making any videos during that time though. He's like, but the one here where we're doing the one about the island, he goes, I was making $5 million an hour. My brain can't comprehend that. And you're like, oh, I want to be Mr. Beast. Mr. Beast is 25. He started podcasting when he was, YouTubing. And kudos for Mr. Beast, by the way. He refers to himself as a YouTuber. You wave that YouTube flag proudly, buddy. And he started when he was 11. And for like the first 4 years, he was all over the place. But he obsessed over YouTube. And I have a Jen from the School of Podcasting. She's getting into YouTube. She does a thing called Shower Talks. And I think just half the, not that Jen doesn't have any talent, but I think half the thing that grabs people's attention is when you go Shower Talks. I'm like, oh, and she's wearing a robe. It's her in her shower. And it's then they're quick.
All this trickery going on.
But it's working. She's getting like, she's up into hundreds of thousands of views now. And I was like, but the thing with YouTube is if you're going to be into YouTube, and Jim mentioned it earlier, it's a whole other beast and you are studying the algo. And Mr. Beast kind of said something. I'm like, he's like, I study the audience. And he goes, the audience is the algorithm. And I'm like, I don't know, but it's all about the artwork for YouTube. So go to YouTube and type in YouTube thumbnails. There's about 5,000 tutorials on how to make the perfect thumbnail, and then titles. And I'm getting mad because people are using these AI generated titles that lie. I had one yesterday. I was on YouTube and it said, or not YouTube, I was on Yahoo for some reason. And there was, you know how they have all the crappy ads that are around, you know, those places that say, we'll boost your audience by putting ads on Yahoo. And this one said, coach gets kicked out of baseball game in first inning with hilarious response. And I'm like, oh, I want to see this. So the shows it, and there's the umpire, and he does the whole, you're out, you know. And the hilarious response from the coach, you ready for this, Jim? He turned and walked into the dugout. That was it. And I was hilarious. No. And I was like, you totally lied. But you said that title because you knew I'd click on it. And it worked. I did. But I'm like, if that was a podcaster, I'd be like, I'd be sticking fingers up in a certain way to go, yeah, I'm done with you. You lied
to me. But it's not, right? It's not. They're just trying to get clicks.
Right. Like
they want clicks to certain properties that lead to other things. I mean, there's a whole method around this, right? Yeah.
But the other thing to think of, Kevin Schmidlin said something that I want to play with. Kevin from Grow the Show. Good guy. There's a guy that in the same way that Natalie Ekdahl from Biz Chicks, she's looking for female CEOs who make at least six figures. Like that's her demographic. And Kevin does grow the show, but he's really looking for entrepreneurs who are already making money with their services, and he wants to help them grow their show. And those people measure success in clients. They could care less about downloads. And so he had a recent episode that I'm like, I might have to do this. And he said, because we're all looking at downloads. And the problem is we're adding people to our downloads at the same rate we're losing people, because they're like, I don't know, this show's kind of like the same thing. They're always talking about microphones and bullhorns, and you know, I'm tired of hearing about bullhorns, so they leave. And he said, but if you look at other things, your whole audience. So he said, go in, let's say you're on Twitter. And I love the fact that we've all just kind of together said, you know what? We're not calling it X. We're just calling it Twitter. Twitter, Threads, Facebook, TikTok, whatever you're on. Write those down. And then write down your followers. Cause I have no idea how many followers I have on Twitter. I just go to Twitter and I do my thing and I look around, do some searching, and I'm like, whatever. But he said, it might be your audience, your email list, how many people are subscribing to that. And he goes, what happens is we're looking at downloads and it's just flat. He goes, but meanwhile, because we are trying on social media to get people to come to our website and we're trying to grow our email list, that we're not noticing that we're growing in other places. And so your audience is growing, but your downloads may not. And I was like, Kevin Schmidlin, I'm going to have to think about that one. The problem is, how do you gauge success? Because if one of your gauges is like, I hope I grow, you know, I want to have 10,000 people following me on Threads. Okay. But what are you going to do with that? So it's going to be the whole growing your audience thing is it always comes down to why, and then your who, and then where those overlap, that's your what. And then Adam Curry always talks about how you have to make an astonishingly good podcast. Like, it can't just be good. It has to be like, wow, kind of thing. And that's, you know, I worked last night on, I mentioned the whole your podcast website, and I interviewed a web designer. Mark's going to be on the show. He doesn't know it yet, but I got to get Mark on that show as well. But I took an interview that we did on video, and then I took it and I made it narrative style. And I love narrative style interviews because A, I get to edit out all the crappy things I did. I have to fold. There was one question that it had to be a minute long because I gave him all sorts of background. And this is why you did this. And this is why, but it shouldn't have been. So why do you do it this way? And I was like, we don't need all that stuff. So it's cool that I can just go in and just say, and when I asked him about this, he said this, and here it is. And so I took what was basically an hour interview down to about probably 40 minutes. Because I cut out stuff like I asked him, like, what are your favorite podcasts? And I thought about it. I'm like, my audience doesn't care unless they're really design-related podcasts. So that was gone. But it took me 6 hours to go through, listen to his answers, categorize them, and then put the puzzle back together in a way that makes more sense. Like, we had talked about tools a couple different times in the episode, and I put all the tool stuff together. And I was like, I got done. Yeah, we'll see. But I was kind of like, okay, I went from this is good content to, okay, I put some serious icing on this. Now, is it wow content? I'd give it an 8, I thought. And then the other thing I thought was cool is there were things that he was showing his screen. So there were things that were very, he's like, you'll see here where the guy's doing this. But I'm like, that's not going to work in audio. So I cut it out. But I also let my audience know, there's a video to this. If you want to see the before and after of some of these sites, go out to, you know, yourpodcastwebsite.com/3. That's not there, by the way, yet. It will be later today. And so there are times when you kind of, you know, making wow content isn't just a conversation. You've got to polish it and get the good stuff out there. I don't know. Am I off base, Jim? Or is...
No. Yeah, well, I mean, it boils down to, it's a job. And there's so many variables, right? I think everybody's looking for the one thing, and it's not one thing. It's a whole bunch of things you got to do together. Who's your audience? What are they buying? What are you selling? What is your message? What is your personality? What do you have tolerance for? How much money do you have? Like, that matters. You know, everybody wants to launch these things for free and have them, you know, it's like planting a garden and not having any water. You're like, well, you probably need a little bit of capital to get some things rolling here, to buy some things, to do some stuff. Then on the other side, it's all the call to action stuff. What's your call to action? What are you actually trying to get them to do? How are you trying to influence them? What are you getting? What are you making that they want to purchase, or whatever that is? And sometimes that's purchasing an influence, not necessarily in dollars, but what are you trying to do with that? And then how are you taking care of your audience at the same time? You know, we've talked about this before of, you know, Taylor Swift does a great job of taking care of her audience. She is very audience friendly. Even as big as she is today, she is still very audience friendly. How friendly are you with your audience? Is that the intent? Where are you going with that? What, you know? So I think you've got to, and then, you know, some of this, you just got to do it long enough that you get lucky in some area to get noticed by somebody or something, or doing something right. Got to take a few risks and try some things. You know, you just never know. I had Aaron Lawrence on my program, Home Gadget Geeks, last, she was just talking about this high-tech bird feeder she'd gotten, and she just mentioned this other company. She's like, I didn't like this one, but I liked this one. That other company heard that somehow and contacted her and me and said, hey, do you want to check out some of our stuff? And I said, hey, I want to be very, very clear with you. I'm not a reviewer. I don't do that. You can send it to me. Right. I'll talk about it. I just don't review. But you never know when those kinds of things are going to happen. And you have to be in the game long enough for a few of those things to kind of manifest. And you got to take some risks. You got to try some stuff. Most of the current podcasters that have big numbers, by the way, they had other things going on before they got here. I think we really minimize. There's very few. Minus it like a John Lee Dumas,
yeah, right,
who kind of came out of nowhere. But most of them had something. NPR was doing this on radio, for God's sakes, before they, all their shows, they just transitioned off radio. Radio Lab, which has had a ton of success, was a radio program before it was a podcast. I mean, they'd been doing that for years on radio. So we talk about this all the time, but you've got to take all the, there's no one thing. You got to take all the factors, then you just got to work it, and then got to realize not everybody's going to be successful at this. This is one of those kinds of things, right? Not everybody's going to be successful.
Adam Curry just said that. He goes, you know, he goes, I hate to say it, but a lot of podcasts are crap. And he goes, and everybody's like, start a podcast, get ads, make money. He goes, not everybody is supposed to make money with this. He's like, maybe, you know, he goes, and he said, look, a lot of people are getting paid in fun, and that's beautiful. And they're getting paid in community and things like that. Ralph said he had 30 downloads an episode. So if you did a growth of 5%, that's 1.5 people an episode. So it's, you know, when we want it to go from 30 to 40 to 50, you know, and he said, the funny thing is I'm willing to spend money, but I cannot find a place for effective marketing. Yeah. I did on Overcast with crappy results. So remember with marketing, and by the way, Buzzsprout put in, I'm going to call this the Dave Jackson feature. You can now, it's now double opt-in where I can place an ad and say, I want that show, this show, with this show. Because the first time I did it, and I'll finish my Ralph thought here in a second, but I had like 7 shows and my campaign went and I got nothing. And I was like, hold on. I'm like, I just want this show. I did like 2 shows. But they had it to where if anybody new met their criteria to have ads, they could grab my ad and start running it without me saying, hey, I don't want to be on a sleeping show. And now I can, it's dove. So they get to opt in. Yes, I will run Dave's ad. And I get to opt in and say, yes, you can. And I was like, that's cool. So I'm going to go back and play with that. But remember with advertising, there are 3 things involved. A, who am I in front of? So the reason I want to play with Buzzsprout ads is because I know those people know how to listen to a podcast because they're listening to one. Number 2, where am I sending them to? Because now I've got to have good ad copy. Well, first of all, it's my copy. My first one, the first ad I did was horrendously bad. It was a lot about Dave Jackson is this and Dave and he's Dave and Dave. And people are like, who's Dave Jackson? I don't know. So the second one was all about, hey, are you trying to do this with your podcast? Do you want to grow? Do you want to blah, blah, blah? All about them. So what's your ad copy there? And then the third one is your landing page. And so this is where you have to have show that you understand them. One of the coolest things was on this episode of your podcast website, the guy that builds website goes, wow, your copy is really good. It's obvious you understand your audience because that's what you want to do. I mean, think about it. Go watch any infomercial. They're like, are you trying to make healthy meals for your family? But it takes too long. And when you do this, it's so messy. And then here's another problem. And this is why it's hard. Enter the thing we make that we want to sell to you. It solves every problem you have. And now it's only three. So you're handling your objections. So is your ad copy saying people, when they see it, they go, oh, number one, Ralph's been doing accounting for 30 years. This guy knows what he's talking about. But is there something there that shows this is for me? Because this is where we try to be everything to everyone. And people go, I don't know. He's talking to businesses. He's talking to this and stay at home. Like, what is it? So it's effective marketing isn't always the platform. It's getting the right message in front of the right audience and then having the right call to action. That's why sales are not, you know, we had a Wendy's here in my town and went out of business. And I'm like, how does a Wendy's go out of business? It's burgers. But in their product wasn't any good because they hired a bunch of people that were nincompoops and you'd walked in and it looked like a war zone. So it's growing your podcast. It's when it hits like going back to Jen and her shower show. She's, you know, it's one thing to have a gimmick that she's podcasting from the shower. But on the other hand, if you're going to have people coming back and she does, and I've yet to watch her shower show, but it sounds funny and they're quick. They're almost like shorts. So, you know, when in doubt, tweak and see if it works. And if it doesn't, you know, keep trying, but that's where that passion comes into play.
Yeah. You know, you got one with advertising, you got to test like crazy. This is where you have to have some money to try some things. Yeah. It's if you're going to do it, right? If you're going to pay somebody else to do it, we've been talking about this a little bit in chat. You're going to pay somebody else to do it. You're going to pay a lot of money because they're going to do what you should be doing. The hard work of testing, getting the results back, figuring out, you know, what worked and what didn't. Chances are if the ads are not working, somebody had mentioned in chat, they had used Overcast with crappy results. So if,
that was
if
Ralph.
Ads aren't working, yeah, Ralph, he knows this, but I'll say it for everybody else. If ads aren't working, there's a couple problems. One, you didn't test enough. Two, you didn't do enough research, or three, your advertising is bad. That there's not too many other reasons why things aren't performing for you, right? I think oftentimes this is where we shortcut the process is our advertising is bad. Guys, you're not spending enough time polishing your ads, making sure they're the right target for the right place and the right people. This stuff is hard. I think we can come to advertising like we come to podcasting sometimes and I can just talk on the mic and people will come. Well, you tried that and you didn't get a lot of people right off the bat. Okay. So you got to polish that up. Those ads have to be the best possible thing you've ever, because you're going to get 15 seconds in front of somebody. That's it. Maybe even less than that. In some cases, if it's visual ads, you're going to get 2 seconds for them in front of their eyes. How do you know it's good? Well, you know it's good when you've tested it and it works. And you got to do a lot of testing. You got to get it in front of a lot of eyeballs. You got to get some feedback on it. You got to get folks who know how to make ads. This is hard work. This is making ads is not for amateurs. This is not an area where you're just like, oh yeah, I'm a podcaster, so I'm going to be a good advertiser. Maybe. Probably not. Find somebody who does this for a living and ping them with some questions. But you've got to, that ad stuff has to be really, really good, really, really tight and well tested. And then once you have it, right, once you've got that nailed, then you got to get in front of the right audience. You got to figure out, hey, where does this audience live that I can get those ads in front of people so that they'll do something with it, right? And that's the hard part. That's the real hard part of figuring out, okay, where am I going to pay to get these things in front of people to get the impressions that I need? You literally need hundreds of thousands of impressions. Even in the early days of testing, you need to kind of get these things figured out. So if you've never done ads before, generally you're not very good at them. So get some. You need to treat ads and advertising like you treat your podcast. It's going to take you time. You're going to have to learn some things. You're going to have to work at it for a while. generally ads are not very successful. They just aren't. They are, you think, oh yeah, I do this and I'm going to see this return. The return on advertising is terrible. It's always terrible. You just got to keep throwing either time or money at it to make it work. This is where we get discouraged. You do an ad on Facebook or you do an ad and whatever, you purchased it somewhere. By the way, these platforms don't make it easy because they don't want to deal with small clients
right. Doing
these things, these tiny little campaigns. They're not interested in doing some of these things. They want the big clients, right? They want the big folks. So they make it hard for small people to engage, for the small folks to engage.
If you kind of want to learn, and this is a hate listen right now, the show is called Ad Infinitum. It's from one of the guys at Oxford Road, which is, and they work with advertising buyers. And what I hate about it is it says there, and is the only podcast focused on audio ads. The creatives make them, you listen to ads and then they tell you why it worked or why it didn't. And the fun thing is they do that at the end of the show. I'm like, no, don't, like you said, you're going to listen to ads and say if they're good or not. And instead, he brings on a guest who's an expert. I know he's an expert because you brought him on the show. You don't, but instead I have to listen to their story. Let's hear about your story about why you're a good advertiser. I'm like, no, you brought them on the show. I'm assuming you didn't just pull somebody off the street. So I have to sit through 10 minutes of their story. I'm like, no, let's let them listen to the ads and then say, well, when I worked for Time Warner, I did, okay, good. Now you can inject your story into your answer if you, it drives me nuts. But I do fast forward a ton on that show to get to the end. So if you're trying to figure out what a good ad is, there's that. If you want to learn copywriting, buy any book from Ray Edwards. I love Ray Edwards. He's a good guy. But Jody had asked a question, what forms of paid marketing do you then recommend? So where do we go? Right now, the one I'm going to play with is Buzzsprout ads. Because A, like if I want to catch a fish, I can't catch them in the street. There are no fish in the street. So I got to go someplace where there's podcast listeners. So advertising on podcasts is, I think, the first right step. Then it's a matter of where can I find the right show, you know, and then it's a matter of, okay, is this the right ad copy? Is this, you know, like I had, and sometimes you need an outside point of view. I brought in a business coach and he was looking at my website. He goes, Dave, do you know there's no place on here that says what's in your courses? You just say you have courses. And I was like, huh. You know, so again, you know, it's good copy, but if somebody, and I'm using this thing called Mouseflow. If you go to supportthisshow.com/mouseflow, where I can see what people are doing. And I saw somebody click on the word courses thinking it was going to take them to a list of courses. And I was like, oh, so again, you think you got all your T's crossed and your I's dotted. So that would be that from there. And also, this is where I use switchy.io. If you go to supportthisshow.com/switchy, I track the crap out of everything. So when I use Buzzsprout ads, I could see how many people, like I made a link to Apple, I made a link to Spotify, so that if anybody clicked on those, I'm going to assume that, you know, hopefully they then subscribed and link anything that they were clicking on so that I can say, okay, I just paid Buzzsprout, whatever it was, $250, and I got 18 clicks or whatever it was. But I also advertise because I do a podcast about podcasting in Pod News, right? That guy's got 30,000 whatever subscribers in his newsletter. So see if there's a newsletter. Now, I'm in a pond. I'm not in a lake. That's the problem. Like there might be some podcast listeners in a newsletter. It's hyper niche to me, but I am no longer technically in water. I'm out of it. But I can see the number of people that, again, through my clickable, trackable links, I can see if it's working or not. Plus, James, and most newsletters should do this. If they're not, go subscribe to James' show and run an ad and see what he gives you all sorts of information. Why? Because he wants me to advertise again. So he'll say, here's the open rate. Here's how many clicks you got. Like, he does all that for you, but I do it anyway. So there's that. Swapping promos on another show. Jeff, I don't think Jeff is here today, but Jeff C said I mentioned him in his show. Yeah, he's here. Thank you, Jeff. He's doing a new thing where it's AI for Pinterest. and C is S-E-I-H. So he's got a new thing going on. And he said when we mentioned a show, he got a little bit of a bump. So it's always the little bump, right? Somebody said it, I think it was around the podcast, said it's planting seeds, right? You're planting seeds. I mean, it takes 9 months to make a baby. So, you know, and we're wanting our baby to come in 3 weeks. So it is, that's where I talk about the passion. I mean, I spent 6 hours last night working on this podcast, and I haven't had that much fun in a long time, because it was, it was literally like, oh, wait a minute, I can take that clip and that clip and that clip, and if I put them together, and then you put them all together, and you're like, oh, that flows so nicely. It's like, ah, it's like, it's like going from an out of tune guitar to an in tune guitar. Like, oh, that's cool. Okay. And then I could follow, ooh, and what if I do this? And then I'm going to, like, I have, cause it's a longer show. So I had two ad breaks. My ad breaks are going to be 15 to 30 seconds. And I said, in a second, you're going to hear how I got really embarrassed. Boom. Here's the ad break. So who doesn't want to hear Dave get embarrassed? So just little things like that, that are like, that should work. That should work. Now, here's the fun thing. I just said it should work. And I might put that out and get, you know, this is my third episode, so I'm not expecting a ton. And sometimes we put stuff out there like, oh, people are going to love this. And you get nothing. And then you have other episodes. You're like, should I click publish on this? Okay, click. And then it goes gangbusters. So it's about the time you think you got it handled, somebody, you throw a curveball out there and they're like, this is the best thing ever. So it is, in the immortal words of, who's the tight end when it comes to the Kelce brothers? He's dating Taylor.
Jason.
So,
Jason.
Yeah. Jason.
No. It's Travis.
Travis. Yeah. Mr. Swift said, podcasting. Podcasting is harder than
Not yet.
Podcasting is harder than baseball than football.
Football.
And I tend to. It reminds me a lot of bowling or golf. And those are really great analogies, Dave. I'm going to pat myself on the back for that, because you think about it, you're really competing against yourself. Yes, there are other people. But, and there are so many things. When I bowled, my mom used to say, shake hands with a head pin. And it's all about keeping your arm straight and how far back you swing and is your swinging around. And if you're doing golf, forget about it. You know, stay, keep your arm. There's so many variables. And when you get it right, you get it right. But, you know, my favorite was, I was with my brother. We used to do the Jackson Open. We would go to this horrible little baby golf course. I would use my dad's clubs, which are about an inch, maybe 2 inches shorter than they should be, because my dad was, I think, 5'10", and I'm 6'1", so not quite made for me. And I would just top the ball nonstop. We called them worm burners. I'd smack it 3 inches off the ground. It's just flying down the fairway. And so we step up to a hole, and there are these guys on the green. And I'm like, oh, there's no way I'm going to hit them. Like, it's way off, you know. And lo and behold, you know, I hit the shot of my life and nailed this guy right in the leg. And he did not seem, because it bounced off his leg and rolled towards the hole. And he was not amused, even though we yelled four. Yeah. I've also hit geese. So occasionally you get one that takes off and you go, what did you do differently? Like, I don't know. I just swung the club. So
you were there, though. You were there doing it, right?
That was it.
Yeah.
Going back to Mr. Beast. And for the record, before we even go there, yes, his name is Mr. Beast. No, he's not the Antichrist. I've already had people like, the Beast! And I know, no. And in this documentary, he was playing some Microsoft game, and they give you a username, and they called him Mr. Beast 6000. He's like, okay. So that's the story of that. And he just said, I try to make my next episode better than the last one. And he looks and sees if it works. But he literally, like, when I was growing up, I would, in junior high and high school, I would come home, I would deliver my papers, and I would eat dinner. So by like 6:30, 7 o'clock, I'm done. And from 7 to 11, I played the guitar nonstop. I just listened to the radio, playing my brother's Fleetwood Mac album, whatever it was, I put it on and I would play along. So there was hours and hours and hours. Mr. Beast did the same thing. He said on Saturdays, he would get up at 10 a.m., and he said he's found two friends that were obsessive about YouTube as he was. And so from 10 in the morning to 10 at night, they did nothing but talk about YouTube. And it was stuff like how long they'd find somebody that was doing something, you know, was getting popular. Okay, how many seconds in between camera shifts? Like they almost like frame by frame, they analyze these videos. So he's admitted he's got kind of an obsessive personality. And it's just like, it's in. I'm like, okay. The other thing I worry about this guy, because he's 25, and they said, what's your work-life balance? He goes, oh, that's easy. Work is 90% and life is 10. Like he does, he goes, I'm always working on videos, but he's
that works
well, he's doing something he loves. But I'm like, that just smells like a recipe for burnout.
Could be. I've never watched one of his videos. I'm a YouTube guy. I am only on YouTube. I've never seen Mr. Beast ever. So be like, yes, he's super popular, but that doesn't mean everybody watches him, right? There's a different kind of audience that I'm attracted to that I watch, and that, yeah. So you can't be Mr. Beast because he's already him. He's right. Already him, right? You be you. And if things work out right, you, and if that's your goal, right? If your goal is to be the numbers of Mr. Beast, well, my friend, good luck. It's going to take some work. Like you need to get after this and start getting after it now. I think that's the message here. And it may never, I mean, hey, I always feel like I'm the downer sometimes. That may not work out. You got to try it. Give it a shot. Do it till you run out of money and then go do something different if it doesn't work, yeah. Right? I mean, there's no guarantees in any of this stuff. I think we all know that.
Yeah.
But I've never seen one of his videos. I don't even know who he does. I couldn't even pick him out on the street.
He does. Gary mentions this. He's now, because he made, you know, $5 million an hour. He has so much money, he doesn't know what to do with it. So now he's into philanthropy. He went to Africa and made 100 wells. It's an amazing video. He's going to, and then you like the guy because here's the thing. You want to hear how messed up this world is? He goes to Africa, makes 100 wells. He's 500,000 people now have clean drinking water that were basically drinking poo. I mean, it was horrible. People are dying from diarrhea. It's just nasty. And while he's there, there's literally a bridge made out of sticks, like sticks to cross this river. And during the raining season, the bridge gets washed away. He built a new bridge. He's just doing all this fun stuff. So he does all this great stuff. And what happens to him is he applauded. And they're like, thank you, Mr. Beast. No. Face something of Africa. This lady's like, well, it's kind of frustrating that he came in and got all the credit. And I'm like, not thank you for helping us do our job. And then somebody else was like, this is the ultimate white savior thing. And I'm like, he's having hell. I was like, so.
Man, no good deed goes unpunished.
Right? Yeah. Jody says, again, I'm willing to spend money. I just don't know where to do it. So I would start with podcasts. Find a podcast. You can do that. She does say your episode when I was on Jody's show, which you can find at voiceoversandvocals.com, among other, she has other websites, but that's there. If you want to hire for a voiceover, that'd be great. So that's the answer to everything. Just have Dave Jackson on your show. I would love, I don't say no to interviews. So
Jody, who's your audience? Where do they live? How do they respond to that kind of advertising? What's your last audience survey say about them? You know, what are all those things? And then, so it's not, you don't ask the question, where do I go first? You ask the question, where do I need to go first? And you wouldn't know where you need to go until you've got all this data kind of trying to figure out, like, or where do I want my future audience to be? How can I advertise this podcast into this future audience, right? And so you got to be asking all those questions. Then once you got all that data, then that should start telling you, oh, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to make a big investment in YouTube, then I got to start thinking about what does YouTube advertising look like, right? Or if I, for some folks like Overcast, advertising on podcasting platforms, again, depends on your content. That might be great. You might think about just web ads, right? Doing Google AdWords. There may be. So get some, kind of dig in, figure out where your audience is first or where you want them to be. Then start asking around for the folks in this space. And actually, there's tons of advertising podcasts out there. So I don't listen to them. That's not my gig. So I'm not as good at the actual functionality of it. We've got folks that do that at Gallup, but you know, you just got to kind of do some legwork. If you don't like doing it, it's one of those things where if you're digging in and you're like, I hate doing this ad stuff, you're gonna have to pay somebody to do it. Find someone that you trust and pay them. It's a little bit of magic. There's some science to it, but there's a little bit of magic in there too of pulling that off. And some folks who've done it well may be able to help you on it.
Yeah, Jody says, I've been on Google AdWords. Really don't want to do that again.
That didn't work for you. Don't go back to it.
Yeah, I've heard everybody that I know that talks about Facebook ads, they'll say they kind of work, but they also always say three words. It's really expensive. And I'm like,
it can be.
Yeah.
It can be.
Yeah. So
it can be. So for sure. But you get, the possible returns on it are, and it's not the only thing. This is, and I'll end this ad segment. It's never one. We always think it's one thing. Yeah. I'm going to do Google AdWords, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to buy. It's never one. It's always them all together. You need to be doing several things all together in concert with a strategy to say, I'm going to do this and it's going to lead to that. And we're going to do this and it's going to go here. What do you have access to? How much money do you have? What can you pay to have done for you? Can someone do all those things? And then there needs to be multiple channels in which you're pushing those through and monitoring all of them. This is why Mr. Beast works 20 hours a day.
Yeah.
Because he obsesses about it, right? But he knows. He knows what works and what doesn't. And so it is, don't get caught in the I need the one thing mentality. Yeah. That it's all the things.
Well, Jim, of course, you know, season 6 winner of American Idol is... Right. And how many kids think if I could just get on American Idol, I would be, and I'm like, you know, and a few of them have gone on, but I don't know, season 6, I remember the guy with gray hair. I remember Ruben Studdard, you know, Kelly Clarkson seems to be doing okay, but she was the first one. She had first mover advantage. So it's, you know, just because
she's been through some things.
Yeah. And just because you get advertising doesn't always mean, you know, now those people probably, and then they got a really crappy record deal, which was even better. Congratulations. Now you get to make money. And if you're lucky and make some money, we might let you keep some of it. Yeah. Congratulations. Welcome to the music biz. So you know who's not having a hard time and having fun doing podcasting?
Maybe our awesome supporters.
Our awesome supporters. And so let me bring that up. You can be an awesome supporter by going to Ask the Podcast Coach, or you could go, hold on, there we go. Yeah, askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. And of course, if you haven't figured it out, this show is brought to you by theschoolofpodcasting.com. We've got courses, and honest, I'm going to put a link to those. You'll probably hear an ad on the School of Podcasting in the future where I name things like planning your podcast and picking your gear and building your website and growing your show, monetizing, things like that. You also get endless one-on-one coaching with me, and an absolutely awesome community with people like Ralph. Ralph's a member of the School of Podcasting. So check it out. Use the coupon code COACH when you sign up to save on either a monthly or yearly subscription. And of course, that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. And speaking of PodPage, you can try PodPage. That's my affiliate link at trypodpage.com. If you want to see what PodPage looks like, go out to askthepodcastcoach.com. That's our PodPage site. And right now, I'm using Ecamm, and I did not... You know, I spent a little time this morning. I always play with Ecamm because I only use it once a week, and it's a great thing. And please don't let my execution of using Ecamm influence you. It's a great program. I just need to play with it more. And then if you need more Jim Cullison, you can find him over at theaverageguy.tv. And in theory, if I go to this now, there he is. See him? If you want more of that guy, because I've now assigned you as guest one. There you go. Nice Spock. It's a beautiful thing. And I just said it, I'm trying, when I go to the segment, I say an insane amount. It's because I'm doing multiple things and I just said it. But now it's time for our featured supporter of the week. So we've got the Wheel of Names. And if you're like, how do I get on the Wheel of Names? Well, you become a $20 supporter. So that could be Glenn. It could be Ross. Could be Felix, could be any of these. We'll click the shuffle button.
Just try it for a month. Like you could get on this for a whole 20 bucks. Just jump in, do it for a month, and then you get your name on the wheel. You never know.
There we go.
The longer you go, the longer you support us, the better chances you have.
There you go. And I click the wheel, it spins, and it's coming around to Craig, yes, from livewellandflourish.com. I just helped Craig move to Captivate, So he's very happy with that. And if you can't get enough Craig, I'll give his other show. He's a professor at a Louisiana university, and he has a show called AI Goes to College, which you can find at AIGoesToCollege.com. So thanks, Craig, for being an awesome supporter. And if this show has ever saved you time, saved you money, maybe saved you a headache, did it keep you educated? Well, then maybe you should be an awesome supporter by going to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. And speaking of awesome,
you don't have entertained on that list, by the way.
Entertained. That's right. We do entertain. Think about
the 30 people come every Saturday because we're their Saturday morning cartoons. That's entertainment.
That's like, it.
You could be on the wheel. I'm just saying you could be on the wheel.
And
I don't make any money off of this, so I can say these things. You could be on the wheel. Just saying.
And also, if you don't want to do $20 a month, there are other options. They don't get you on the wheel, but it is a way of saying, hey, thanks for the show, Dave. I appreciate it.
It's like a cup of coffee these days, right? I mean, Starbucks, a cup of coffee, Starbucks is like $9 now or something like that. I mean,
this is why I don't go to Starbucks. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but I'm just saying, you have an inflation fighting deal. It's been $20. It stayed $20. You could join us as well. So we'd love to have you on that.
And I got to say, I say this a lot, but we really do have like the best chat room, because I came in today. Sure. Because they've just been pumping things into the chat room here. So Danny has a question. Yeah. Do you think free websites on hosts like Libsyn, Captivate, Buzzsprout, etc. are good enough for new podcasters, or should they look at WordPress, Wix, or Podpage? As always with podcasting, it depends. If it's Mrs. Smith's sixth grade class and they don't really care about, you know, SEO and branding, they just need a place for people to listen to their show. Yeah, but I do like cryingismanly.com, brand new member of the School of Podcasting. And what he did is he bought a domain, which you can get at, you know, Namecheap or coolerwebsites.com, and pointed it at his Buzzsprout site. So at least now when he says, oh, my website is cryingismanly.com, it goes to a website. And then later, if he wants to move to WordPress or Podpage or whatever, he still, all of his episodes, cryingismanly.com, works. And so it really depends on, like, let me think, Buzzsprout's website, not bad. They're all not bad. The fun thing is when you want to have like an email list, or I want to sell something, and you can, but most of those are made for people to listen and follow the show. And they do a really good job at making it easy to listen and follow the show. It's when you want to color outside of that, it gets a little tricky.
If I was starting a new podcast again, now knowing what I know, I'd do it completely different. I think everyone thinks that first podcast is something special, and it just isn't. It's terrible in a lot of cases. Imagine, like, if you'd never been in the restaurant business before and you were going to go open a restaurant, you would make a million mistakes in the way you open the restaurant and the property. You might be better off starting with a food truck, or you might just be better off taking some food to potlucks and see if anybody actually likes it before you get very far, right? Do some small things first. And this is what I heard in what you just said, Dave. If you're going to do something, like, just grab a free service, make 10 episodes, learn the craft. Don't care about it. Monkey around with some art. All that stuff you're never going to want to listen to it in the future anyways. You'll probably suppress it once you get somewhere down the line, right? So you're going to do that anyways. So just do some things, get something out there, get some feedback. Don't worry about the permanency of things. Don't worry even necessarily about big numbers on that. We think like, oh, I can't live if I don't have a great launch. Well, do practice it, learn a whole bunch of things, then burn that thing to the ground. Just burn it down. And then start something, because you're so much smarter after you've done 10 or 20 of these things. Then you can kind of start digging in with your, you know, like, oh, okay, now I'm going to go get some professional artwork. Okay, now I know how to build this thing in a way that I can add advertising to it. Or do I want to? You might even have learned some things in the 10 or 20 that you made, of some bits that you want to bring over to the new show. So I'd make a food truck before I would do a restaurant, before I'd buy a restaurant, right? Yeah.
Training wheels. Yeah. What's fun is I was digging around my basement and I thought I had it in here. It's so bad. I found back when I was, you know, in my true like musician, like, you know, 16 to 22, man, I had lyrics flowing out of me because I was a musician and that's what I did. They're so bad. It's this, you know, and I'm just like, you know, the young angst of, you know, and talking about rocking on, like we rock on. Like there was a song called Rock and Roll.
Woohoos. Woohoos in there. Woo-hoo.
I don't think so. I wasn't quite the Bon Jovi kind of guy, but I just saw one was called Rock and Roll with the Punches.
Oh,
and that's, you know, and I was like, wow, this is so bad. So usually the first thing you do, not great. And even towards the later ones, I was like, these are still really, this is why I don't write lyrics. But that was
it's like stand-up comedians, right? I mean, they just work clubs. They just go into clubs and they might play to five people and they just, Nate Bargatze, you know, he's gotten, I mean, this overnight success that took 20 years. And some of the stories you hear, he's like, I'd go do comedy to anybody that'd listen. And sometimes you just need to make that stuff and get better at your craft. You know, to bring this back around to the advertising thing, oftentimes what's stopping us in advertising is our craft. We're actually not as good as we think we are in that. We need to hone that craft.
I think it's three podcast movements ago, Tom Webster did a keynote and said, it's time to master your craft. That's why I study storytelling. That's why, you know, Randy said, I used to boost my post on Facebook and you had little choice of where it went and it did nothing. Yes. I have been told by multiple people, if you want to light your money on fire, 100% guaranteed, boost something on Facebook. That's just not something I would recommend.
But your audience might be on Facebook and you can get them in a group. And then, by the way, you've got a lot of control in Facebook in groups.
Yeah.
Ads don't show up in groups. You've got a lot. Facebook's made a lot of changes in the way that groups can be moderated. There's auto moderation now going on in those groups. So there's some good tools. Yeah. So maybe Facebook ads but Facebook groups. I mean, I think if I tried to take away our Gallup Facebook groups, they would storm Omaha with pitchforks and torches and, you know, shiv me in the parking lot. So they love that Facebook group. And I've tried taking it away several times and they're like, don't take it away. We have 17,000 people in that group.
Yeah. Right? I have a Facebook group for the School of Podcasting and I use this other tool called Heartbeat. I love Heartbeat. It's so much better than Facebook. And yet I have people that are like, I only use Facebook. Don't need another app to look in. I'm like, but all the events are listed over there. You know, you can so it's weird.
That ship has sailed. Everybody's on Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, you're not you, Dave, but
I'm
talking to there's a person right now who's listening in their car, who's not on Facebook and they're like, they're yelling at us right now. No, Jim, I'm not on Facebook. Yeah. Right. Well, okay. You're not, but everybody else is.
Yeah. Ralph said, I just started this question to a place of starting a discussion. To be very honest, I see my podcast as my mission field. So I help, if I help one person, that's the way to look at it. You know, that's how I look and I'm having fun, you know, so it's great. Here's something that, speaking of Jeff C, he says, I'm convinced with all the AI tools, taking the time to craft emails to your audience and nurturing them is the way to stand out. I think that's I sat in a week of AI stuff with PodFest. And again, it's a great assistant. It's a great way to brainstorm. Definitely can save you some time. But I smell people that just want to click a button. Like, I'm going to type in a sentence. I'm going to click a button. Like, I've seen ads for like, you can make $1 million in 3 minutes by having AI generate the content. It'll generate the website and you can sell this course, blah, 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 3 easy payments. And I'm like, yeah, that's no. So I am advising people lean into your personal stories because AI can't do that. And it's a way to let people get to know you. And then Danny says, in terms of downloads mean squat in his opinion, because of auto downloads, bots, scripts, all those can result in a download, but no one listens. And I had Audience Uplift, I think it is, that emailed me. And it's one of these, I love when I ask a very specific yes or no question And they email me back and they don't answer it. Because I said, is this one of those where you advertise on great sites like Yahoo and CNN and it leads to a player that will auto download in the background? And I said, so I'm asking, is this a certified download or a verified listen? Like, very specific. What is your business model? What's going on here, buddy? Because you smell a lot like one of those companies that's doing that thing. And he didn't answer my question. And I was like, I'm going to take that as a yes. And that's the thing. Now, why do these exist? There are people like the marketing manager of big company and the CEO is like, why are we doing this podcast thing? I see where we're spending $4,000 on an episode. What's going on? They're like, oh crap, I need some numbers. So they hire these people. They artificially inflate their downloads. Most of them, you know, again, you're going to get a small number of people that are actually listening to the show that will follow it or whatever. But he's able to go back to the CEO and go, look, man, we're getting 20,000 downloads an episode.
Yeah. And listen, downloads are not all junk. I mean, they are numbers. And if you track them on a regular basis, they give you some idea. They give you some trend data. That's where they're best at, right? And so percentages and trends are really good in this light. When Apple did a haircut last year, we could see that trend drop off. I all of a sudden got new numbers. So like, oh, okay, well, this... You start tracking things month over month. A couple months ago or a couple years ago, we had a January spike that had to have been a mistake on our host provider because it came in February. It came back to some more numbers. There are some things you can see. Certainly, knowing I have 20,000 versus 40,000 downloads, being able to compare those two numbers is important to me. So I don't obsess about the downloads, the number. I do watch the trends on the downloads, and those trends are important. Knowing what's going on in those trends and then knowing, hey, are we trending up or are we trending down? Again, it's one number, right? But it's not total junk.
Right.
And you shouldn't ignore it. Just put it in its right place, right? Know why we're looking at the numbers that we're looking at.
Yeah, Gary says, I think the AI thing is reaching pinnacle hype state. There's a thing on the Podcasting 2.0 show, and there is I want to say it's BlackRock, some sort of investing. They have like trillions of investing in things. And this guy pointed out that if AI and all the computer power that it takes, like if we go forward 5-10 years, it's like a gigawatt of information to run all the computers that are going to run all this stuff. And it was kind of saying that may not work in the future if we don't want to have everybody turn off their air conditioning. Like, where are we going to get the power to run all this stuff? So they were kind of saying like, hey, is everybody ignoring the fact that this isn't very efficient? They give Bitcoin all sorts of crap, but nobody's giving this, you know. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting thing that we've never talked about. But the other thing Danny brought up, if you haven't heard about this, OP3 is an open source. It's kind of a podcasting 2.0 thing is kind of where, but it's not. It's if you just want a free way to track your downloads, you can do this. And all you need is a host. Unfortunately, not Libsyn, but like in Captivate, you can go right into your RSS feed settings and add this. And it's just another way because it gives you a way to see how far people are listening and all sorts of stuff like that. If you are listening to this in audio, if you go out to futureofpodcasting.net, you can see where under our resources, where you'll see where it says open OP3 stats opens. So you just basically add a prefix, but you can actually share them if you want. So I have to update this. I just moved the future of podcasting from Libsyn. Nothing bad against Libsyn. If you want to manually do the code, you can do podcasting 2.0 stuff. But it was adding a few things to my workflow. And every time I was uploading, and I'm like, you know, if I was using Blueberry or Buzzsprout or Captivate, I'd be done by now. And so because I have multiple shows, I went, well, you know what? I'm moving it to Captivate. And Danny, I'll be bugging you later because I know somehow I can export my stats from Libsyn and bring them into Captivate. So I'll have to figure that out. Haven't done it yet, but you could share your stats if you wanted to. That's not OP3's fault. That's operator error from Dave, but it is a thing. And then you can go in and see how far people listen and things like that. The other thing we were talking about being Saturday morning cartoons, Chris says, I used to watch pro wrestling on Saturday mornings.
Oh, yeah.
And Dave Mania, man. Does somebody pimping vitamins in WrestleMania or something like that? I know a lot of, you know, to me, slap it into a Slim Jim, brother. And that's what?
Big time wrestling.
Yeah.
Big time wrestling back in the 70s,
yeah.
80s. Oh, my God.
Let me see here.
But it was real. It was real back then. In the 70s, this new stuff, new wrestling, fake. But 70s and 80s, real.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff.
Argue with me in the chat. Leave a comment in YouTube down below about wrestling, fake or real. We want to hear your opinion.
Liberty Dude, since most of the podcast host companies don't seem to be doing much, isn't podcasting 2.0 just mostly hype? That, my friend, is a good question. Well, first of all, Libsyn keeps saying they're going to look at it. Trust me, there's somebody inside Libsyn that screams about this all the time. And we're doing some stuff. I can't really say, but there are things behind the scenes that I'm still trying to wedge it in. Because you can, if you use our old interface and don't mind manually typing in the code, you can. But Buzzsprout has embraced it. Captivate, Blueberry. If you go to podcastindex.org, there are a lot of hosts that have done that. Podhome, build it from scratch for podcasting 2.0. So the thing is Apple ever going to embrace it? Well, they did embrace the transcript tag. So that's encouraging. Are they going to ever embrace the whole value for value streaming Bitcoin? That would be, yeah, I don't see Apple ever doing that. It is getting.
They'll do their own thing, by the way. They'll do their own thing.
Yeah.
Right. They're not going to take, Apple's not going to take on somebody else's stuff, baggage. They'll do their own thing. If they're going to do it, it'll be their own. That's my prediction. I don't know. I don't know any data, but that's the way they do things at Apple.
But I do like some of the things. Like I was listening to Sam Sethi today, and he was saying Apple could integrate the people tag. So if we could have guests and things like that, they could integrate pod role, which is a way for you to say, if you like this show, you might like that. There are all sorts of things they could. So it's just one of those things where, look, I'll be honest. I'm a little like, wish it would move faster. That's really this should be just called, you know, we could all bust out our Axl Rose, little patience, you know, cause that's what it's it. And you know, I want it to be further along than it is, but this morning I ran out of sats in my wallet. I went to True Fans. Don't have to do the whole hokey pokey, turn yourself around, order myself $10 worth of Satoshis. It went in. That filled my wallet. My wallet's connected to Castomatic. So all I did was go. And what's beautiful is I told it to save my credit card because apparently I like to live dangerously. And I just went in. It was like, oh, here's this and that. It's a thing through Stripe, I believe, is what they're using. So Stripe has my, I forget the name of the little service. Link is, I see this come up, but I think that's a Stripe thing. So it was super easy to refill my wallet. So it's, I don't think it's hype. And if we go to podcastindex.org and go,
it needs to be hype from some regards. I mean, we need to hype the thing to get this out there, and people got to be talking about it. Well, so,
and that's,
it needs some value. It needs some hype. Is it, if it's in a negative way, in other words, maybe that was really saying, is this all overblown or is this never going to happen? I don't know if it's going to happen in its current iteration, but I think you just said, and I believe this too, I think there will be pieces that come out of it when people have an advantage to use those pieces to their own. None of this stuff, nobody does things for charity. They do it when it works for them, right? And so as these systems begin to come online and folks say, oh, I can make some money off this. Okay, yeah, I will add value for value when they see the value to themselves in it. That's always the key. That value for value thing, somebody's got to be able to see the value in it, and it may be there. They just don't know it. So it needs to be hyped in some regard if that's the case.
Yeah. Right now, according to podcastindex.org, 20,275 podcasts are value for value enabled. And over at stats.podcastindex.org, over the last 90 days, $40,865 have gone through. In the last 60 days, $25,666. Oh, there's the beast again. And then the last 30 days, 13,000. And in the last 2 weeks, 6,477. Well, let's play with math, shall we? If we clean windows from Ecamm in my way. So if we take $6,477 and divide it by 20,000 podcasters. That is 32 cents a piece. So that's the bad news. But yeah, in the last 2 weeks. So again, and yeah, in the last 7 days, 3,355. So
it's got to start somewhere, Dave. It's got to start somewhere. Yeah, I mean, if we're going to do this, I am just worried about their Bitcoin implementation of this. I have not from the day one, I've not been a fan that they chose Bitcoin to be the, and I know why, and I know all those things. I just worry about that from an implementation standpoint, a cost standpoint, it was first. I don't know if it's the best for the technology for them. But it's such a, listen, the value for value is such a small part of that 2.0. And I know there's others who think it's the only part of it, but there's so many other great things in that spec that we could take advantage of and use. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater on that. It's not all about value for value. That's part of it, but there's some other great things in there we could implement.
Well, I'll give you an example. There's this thing called Podping that, from what I understand, you add one line of code to your code stuff. And instead of having to, like right now, Libsyn goes out and pulls every RSS feed. Do you have any new feeds? Do you have any new feeds? Or wait, how does it, I think it goes the other way around. Yeah, apps have to come around and pull all of Libsyn's RSS feeds to see if there's anything new. Where with Podping, if I understand this right, and I'm a little rusty on this, instead of having to check, are there any new episodes, Libsyn would then tell the apps there's a new episode. So instead of having to check everybody, it would then just wait for us to tell you there's a new episode. And from what the result is, where now it can take a couple hours for things to show up in Apple, now it's, you know, much, much quicker. And it's much more energy efficient. And so that's the, you know, there are other things besides the whole Bitcoin thing that just make it better.
Yeah.
So, and now Captivate just rolled out a thing where, and I haven't read up on this, but something I should ask Danny, because we're up against time here, but they've somehow integrated, and this is the part that has me worried. This will be next week's conversation, where we're somehow tying YouTube videos into the RSS feed. And I'm like, okay, because I don't like, if that's a feature, it's based on YouTube. Not going, hey, wait a minute, you're only supposed to be able to watch YouTube videos on YouTube. And I heard Mark talk about this, and I think what they're doing is putting a link to YouTube. I need to read up on this. But I just,
that would be nice.
Anytime we have cool things that rely on other products, I just have two words for you, Twitter and Facebook. And both of those break on a regular basis. So that would be tricky. But Mark's a smart guy, and I'm assuming that whatever he's done over there is going to work through it. But that's another topic for another day. But A plus to the chat room today. I had like four questions, and I was like, I'm not sure what we're going to do. And you guys came through.
I said the chat room will carry it. They'll give us some things to talk about.
But Jim, what's coming up on Home Gadget Geeks?
Yeah, Christian Johnson from Maple Grove Partners joins me again. We talked a little bit about kind of state of hard drives. We talked about NAS devices. I think his recommendation, what do you buy in a NAS in 2024? Spend a little time talking about this idea. This is kind of cool. Private 5G, which is really, really interesting. That might be the best part of the whole conversation. A little AI at the end. Available right now, homegadgetgeeks.com.
There we go. On the School of Podcasting, I think the title in my head is No Shirt, No Shoes, No Admittance. And it's a topic I've talked about before, but with a new twist. And that is the attitude of the podcaster going in. We kind of talked about that today. Like, you got to be patient. It does grow. You have great engagement, but audience growth is slow. And so we're going to talk about what happens when I talk about pronouns and politics and abortion and religion, and the fact that if that's your choice, nothing wrong with it, but some people aren't going to like you. You know, the minute I do a political show, forget it. And then I also noticed something in studying this. Did you notice that Rush Limbaugh, all these people had an enemy? They were all fighting someone to rally their community. And I was like, I see what you did there. So we're talking about that, along with what is Google looking for? And I thought this was new. Turns out this is like 4 years old. So you know, yay day for keeping up with the latest technology. But we're here every Saturday. Ask the Podcast Coach. Thanks for watching and listening, and we'll see you next week.